This episode is brought to you by AppColony, ensuring that your mobile video efforts are being seen, measured, brand safe, and make an impact.
Let's talk digital. We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidu.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. Hello everyone, welcome back to this week's episode with me, Audrey Naidu. Today we are talking about one of my favorite subjects in digital marketing, which is brand safety. With new consumer habits comes new rules and new opportunities. We'll be talking to a leading subject matter expert joining us all the way from Belgium. He is the director of brand safety and digital risk at Group M. Having previously worked as an agency advocate in Brussels on many challenging issues for the ad industry, such as privacy and consumer protection, Stefan joined Group M EMEA in 2017. He supports the company's digital operations by looking after all areas of digital risk, which includes reputational, financial, and legal, and underpinning media quality processes and governance. Let's give a warm welcome to Stefan Ranjelovic. Welcome to the podcast, Stefan.
Thank you, Audrey, for inviting me.
It's good to have you with us. You are speaking to us from Belgium. How's the weather there?
No, it's very gloomy. Not the proper summer we were hoping for, but, you know, you got to work with what you have.
Yeah, you can join us in the doom and gloom because in Johannesburg we are experiencing freezing weather, so I actually can't wait for spring.
Yeah, I'd love to join, but and hopefully I will be able to join you in person after this madness of Corona passes.
Yeah, that would be good. Stefan, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about yourself?
So I work as director for brand safety and digital risk at Group M EMEA, looking after lots of different things, but you can put it more or less in three buckets, which is reputational risk, financial risk, and legal risk. So everything that has to do with contextual brand safety, viewability, fraud, and et cetera. On a more personal note, I am Serbian by origin. It's a little country in the Balkans. And I actually, I'm an avid reader. So I read a lot and I love those long family sagas. So I actually have a recommendation for you. It's a book, Pachinko. I can't remember the author, but it's a really, really great book about a South Korean family living in Japan and back and forth. So for the summer or your winter, great read.
Thanks. And I know in your pastime you used to be almost like a professional dancer, right?
Yeah, that's true. But it's been some time since then. I did all kinds of dances, from ballroom dances down all the way to actually to hip hop. Exciting times. Now I just do it at weddings and sometimes in discos, but rarely.
Yeah, I'd like to see that in action, Stefan.
When I do visit, maybe.
Yes, yes, for sure. Yes, so let's get down to the topic now. I mean, you and I had a conversation last week around, you know, one of the hot topics in the ad industry right now is brand safety. And you know what? I'd like to start from the beginning. Is like, how do we define brand safety in today's context?
You know, defining brand safety has been more or less a challenge because everybody has a different concept for it. At Group M, how we define it is, you know, taking care and mitigating all different kinds of risk. And I mentioned those three. So reputational risk, which is where the most perceived risk there is. So it's contextual brand safety, right? It's your adjacency to different kinds of content, et cetera. And then there is the financial risk, which is viewability. Are you actually wasting money on ads that couldn't be seen? Or are you actually, as a brand, giving money away to fraudsters because you're not taking some mitigation tactics? And the last one is the so-called legal risk, which is mostly about the GDPR in Europe, which is actually ensuring that, you know, you process the personal data of our users in a not only a legal way, but also ethical. So all of this is for us group and brand safety, but I know that most of the people actually focus on the contextual brand safety and the reputational risk on there.
Yeah, I like the way you break that down, because, I mean, it's some of the stuff from a brand perspective you don't generally consider, because the responsibility is on the media agency.
Yeah, well, you know, it is, media agency implements a lot, but at the end of the day, it is really a joint responsibility, because it is the brand itself that defines what is acceptable and what is not. It's very difficult for GroupM to say what is acceptable for a bank, for an entertainment brand, for, you know, for a beauty brand. Every brand has different risk tolerance and risk appetite, and that is okay. And what media agency is there for is to advise you, so together we can create a better path for how to keep your brand safe in an online environment. And I think, you know, as agencies and clients work more closely these days, I think that's exactly the way that not only we approach, but I think we see the industry approaching brand safety in that way. It's a collaboration rather than isolation.
Stefan, this year in June, GroupM released a brand safety playbook, and this playbook was well received globally due to its context. And you've actually included some of the changing, not only consumer behaviors, but also media genres or formats coming into the fold. Can you maybe take us through what was the essence of this playbook?
Sure. How much time do you have?
Yeah, I know. Let's just go high level.
Yeah, of course. I'll just tell you the highlights. I think one of the main learnings from this report that you can see is the actual policy shift. So we see more and more privacy legislation popping up around the world. GDPR was really the catalyst for all of that. But we also see more and more regulatory attention around the harmful content online, how we as an industry can help prevent that. When it comes to what is also obvious is that consumers, mostly due to COVID, but also this is something that's just perpetuated by COVID, you know, there are new channels that are on there. So more consumers are joining different social platforms that offer light touch and light-hearted content, such as TikTok. We also see that consumers are more into gaming. I think there is one data point that I read: 86% of online users are actually playing one game or another at one device at all times, which is a huge number if you ask me. But the report itself speaks about gaming, audio, digital out of home as new yet old channels. And what is common for these channels is the lack and the challenge actually of the measurement. So the cornerstone of brand safety is being able to measure where your ad appears, how viewable it is, actually has it been served to bots or real people, and etc. And unfortunately, for the moment, we are really lacking industry standardization in how we can measure. So every platform has its own thing. There is a bit of fragmentation of demand and supply, which makes the measurement complicated. And that's really something that we have to work on. And the final thing is the phenomenon of fake news. So fake news, as we know, have really played a big role in all the developments in the recent years. But what is seeing now, we see a disturbing trend of fake news growing into deep fakes. And deep fakes is basically somebody, for example, can take now this recording of me and you, Audrey, and they can create, you know, they can put it through an algorithm, and then they can mold our voice to say something that we never said before. And why this is a problem for brands is, I mean, you know, anybody can take any of the CEOs, board members of big companies making some bad statements that go against the corporate social responsibility of that company, and et cetera. And sooner than you know, the share prices can go down, up. And this is obviously a big problem. But the ultimate goal and how we can avoid all of this as the industry is simply by investing in quality media, which means, you know, high contextual brand safety, suitable, viewable, as less fraud as possible, and working with our partners closely to make those environments safe. Was that short enough?
Yeah, thank you for that. I think from just by listening to you, it seems to be quite a complex, multi-dimensional view of brand safety. It's not as simple of getting the tools or the tech or processes in place. It's actually having a more strategic view of what brand safety means for a brand.
Yeah, that's correct. Brand safety is not a deterministic science. It is not, it's not on or off. It is, again, a determination of your risk profile, where you want to invest and how you want to invest. And it's absolutely true. I mean, as I said, brand safety as a practice, you know, involves all these risks. But increasingly, and I think this is a trend that we have seen in the past 2 years, more or less, is that it comes a point where brand safety is almost considered to be equal to social responsibility of a brand. So where you as a brand choose to invest is an actual picture of your values as a brand. So imagine a brand being into female empowerment and then being seen on a website or an app that argues against abortion. This is something that any brand would want to avoid, and I think more and more you see consumers actually, you know, paying attention to these elements of brand safety. So while brand safety and social responsibility are different, they do come together in the time when the consumer is actually considering how a brand interacts with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking while you said that is recently we've seen loads of blackouts on social media, you know, talking about different viewpoints from hate speech to racism to domestic violence or abuse against females. You know, it's difficult for brands then to say, let's make a call. Are we actually supporting whatever channel this is going on? Do we actually advertise on social media? Where do brands strike the balance?
This is really a decision that goes to the heart of many of many brands, in a sense, to the heart of their values and the purposes they want to embody and to portray and to convey to their users. But at the same time, it's also what they are considering is, you know, how effective a platform it is for their advertising and et cetera. And every brand has their own way of assessing these things. Again, there is no one size fits all answer. But it's a tough call, and I can't tell you what is right and what is not. What is absolutely right is for brands and the industry to work together with publishers, platforms, and to try to get things to the right point. Because online environment is just not perfect. It brings out often the worst out of people because there is this almost lack of human control, self-control when you're online. Because you don't speak to an actual person, you're speaking to a screen. So that brings really the worst out of people. And this is not limited only to platforms. You can see it on, you know, domains, apps, etc. So what we need to do as an industry is really, and what we have been doing through the Global Alliance for Responsible Media, through different industry associations, is, you know, try to make, to work together to make these environments safer, not only for brands, but also for users.
Stefan, I just want to pick up on the things that you've mentioned just now. From what you said, I've seen four shifts. One is policy shifts, two is channel shifts, three is consumer shifts, and four is context, in terms of content shifts. We've also seen a rise in audio. How is that going to impact brand safety?
Well, audio is before the COVID, the COVID crisis. Audio was foreseen really to grow significantly. And one interesting fact from eMarketer, I think I read it in, it was that 78% of people do not mind ads on podcasts because they just consider it, you know, to be natural to the flow. But however, due to COVID, you know, many people stopped listening to audio. So now you can see because traditionally they used to listen to audio when they were commuting. Audio has the same issue as other channels, new channels, digital out of home, connected TV, is that really measurement is not in the best place. It's very difficult to measure the audibility, which is the synonym for viewability, just in the audio space. Once when somebody downloads, for example, a podcast, you know that they have downloaded, but whether they have listened to the ad or they actually skipped the ad, you can't, that's something you can't know. So from the brand safety perspective, it is just because there is no way for us to measure yet. It does carry a certain level of risk. But again, as more ad investment flows into it, we are hopeful that IB Tech Lab and other industry initiatives, you know, are going to create standards for us to understand better this environment.
I guess what you're saying is brand safety will never be binary. I mean, it's not a yes or no thing. It would continuously be shaped as the industry evolves.
Yes. Absolutely. That's very true. It is so fluid. I joined GroupM 3 years ago, and since then, it has grown, and expanded. But really what remains true, is throughout all of this is that it's just, you know, it's a word of brand safety, but it has a different meaning every year or every 2 years, more or less. And why it has a new meaning? Because new challenges keep popping up in new channels. So absolutely agree with you. It's going to continue to be a challenge for years to come. And some of the surveys that I've seen from advertisers, more than 75% believe this is just going to become a more important topic in years to come.
Yeah, certainly in South Africa, we're seeing a similar trend where we're now putting together projects and task groups to actually look at brand safety at a more strategic level and not just at an operational media level. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the outcome of this.
Yeah, I work quite closely with my South African colleagues because South Africa is part of my remit, and they keep me close to some of the conversations. And I think South African market is I'm telling you this honestly because I really work across 35 markets, even more. South Africa market is taking this topic very seriously, and the work that you guys have done in the past, that I think on viewability and et cetera is really valuable. And it addresses, it's not that it's valuable, you know, only, but it actually addresses the right pieces of problem.
Yeah, that's good to know. Stefan, I just want to, you mentioned three types of brand safety risks. Can we quickly touch on, and I know this could take forever because there's so much to talk about financial risk, but what are some of the things that brands should consider in terms of financial risk?
In that bucket, you have three things to consider. One is the viewability, which is, as you know, I mean, we have two different standards today in the industry, how we measure viewability. The MRC standard, which is 50% of pixels and certain amount of seconds, and the GroupM standard, which is 100%. It is something, obviously, from our perspective, viewability, higher you go, better for a brand, because it can be a waste of money if you're investing in ads that are only, 10% viewable. It's just a waste of money. In terms of ad fraud, which is the second thing, ad fraud, according to some of the data that I've seen, is the second largest a revenue stream for organized criminal after drug trafficking. It is enormous. So brands, what brands need to do is, first of all, check their supply path, work on inclusion lists, constantly optimize and monitor, use third party verification, and etc. And the third one is actually in demo. So, are you targeting users that you actually want to reach? Because if you have perfume that you want to sell to women from 35 and 45, but you're actually reaching a man from 55 to 65, are you actually missing your audience and therefore also wasting your money? So these are the three different pieces of that financial risk bucket.
Okay, and in terms of wastage, how do you measure that? So if we have to do an order tomorrow on our account, how would we go about measuring the amount of wastage coming through from a financial risk perspective?
You would check how viewable your ads are on average on different channels, be it in-app, domain, desktop, and etc. See how you can, check what's the average, see how you can, whether it's too big, if non-viewable percentage of those, of that average is really too high, then you may have an issue. So you need to speak to your media agency and then speak to suppliers, to give you better inventory. In terms of fraud, obviously, first of all, you need to check how you're buying. Are you buying on an exchange with no exclusion list, with no control? And how you assess it is, you rely on third-party verification to tell you where, what is the percentage of ads that have been fraudulent, and then you can multiply that with CPM and et cetera. It's not a super complex thing. It starts with basics and then you go from there.
Thanks for that. Stefan, we've covered many of the challenges and some of the possible solutions or recommendations for brand in terms of approach. What would you say are the biggest opportunities in terms of how we view brand safety now?
I think the latest trend that we are seeing, and it is actually an opportunity, it is this shift from the consideration only from brand safety to brand suitability and contextual relevance. So in the past, it was, on or off brand safety. We are now moving to the point where brand safety, as in different 11 types of content that is unacceptable for any brand, are basically table stakes. They should be. And then we move into what each brand, can consider in terms of whether they are a low risk, medium risk, or high risk, and then choosing different type of content based on that. And then on top of that comes the contextual relevance. So if you're an automotive brand, should you run, in travel type of content, or you should run in beauty type of content? And I think that is probably the greatest opportunity for the consideration of the brand safety / brand suitability, because if you get that right, the contextual relevance, and you get your risk profile right, you can actually drive your performance as well.
Okay, and you also mentioned earlier around social responsibility. I would actually see that as an opportunity for brands.
It is the way brands communicate to the public. And how they communicate their purpose to their consumers is actually an opportunity. And then if they actually connect that with how they invest in their media, which media types they are supporting, Do they align? It is, consumers can recognize this. I don't have now any clear figures with me, but I remember in the past there are different types of research that show that, you know, they like their brands to be aligned, that they like brands' actions to be aligned with their purpose. They're more considerate towards those, that kind of brands and such. So there is definitely an opportunity on there. And you have like a whole line of brands who just, you know, who build their brand on a purpose, on a very distinct purpose. So I think the clear example is Nike. They have very specific purpose, and they have a very, they're very aligned on what they do and what they don't do.
Okay, I think if I had to summarize what you said, I would put this under three pillars. One being your brand purpose or brand values, because that should be your starting point in terms of guiding your brand safety principles. Two is brand suitability, and I would say three, brand safety from how do you actually implement your governance and principles around it. But my question is the tools that are there, are they effective, or do we need to revisit this?
Well, the tools that are out there are as good as the time and technology we are in. You know, nothing is perfect. There is no, it's, I think, I'll just divert a bit if you don't mind, but when we had this whole discussion about overblocking of COVID content, for example, everybody started bashing the tools that we have, saying that they're too blunt and they don't recognize things and they don't recognize what is positive, what is negative, etc. And what we came to understand is that it's not the problem of tools, it's how we used those tools. We as the industry are sometimes slow to move from what we know to what we don't know and what is new.
Sorry, what you're saying is that we need to reevaluate the tools, but at the same time, don't blame it on the tools if your policies and processes are not correct.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, tools are there to help, to support you. And obviously we expect them to be effective and efficient, but you know, some technology just not there. There are very few number of companies who can, for example, process the actual video content. And that is crucial for brand safety and suitability in video environments. So, you know, you just have to take all of that into consideration. There is no perfect technology, let's put it that way.
Yes, for sure. Stefan, I just want to ask you, in terms of closing, what will success look like?
Success looks like investing in, you know, you as a brand having a clearly defined risk tolerance profile, defining what you can and what you cannot invest in, and then optimizing against that. Success looks like in the reputational field, not being called out as a brand for funding wrong kind of content, but ultimately what success looks like is being able to say, yes, I invest in quality content, but quality content actually does deliver better results for my brand. And for that, I think we need more case studies that prove that quality does effectiveness and efficiencies.
Yeah, I would certainly like to see more case studies come out in the industry, especially from a South African local context.
I have a few, not from South Africa, that I can share. We've done something with IAS. Actually, you can just Google IAS Group M France and or IAS Group M Nordics, and you will see two studies. But I'll speak also to my South African colleagues. Maybe we can come up with some.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Stefan, thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation. I enjoyed it as well. And hopefully we can repeat this in 2 or 3 years' time in a different, more fluid brand safety environment.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to look completely different then. You know, nothing is constant in digital. We know that.
Agreed.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and keep some change in their pockets.
Don't forget to subscribe. Follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.